Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that kiss. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way.
So shall we talk about Willow?
Yeah, we're.
This is your fault.
It's true.
Anyway,
it is.
Hello, this is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about, inexplicably, the movie Willow. I didn't even look up what year this was.
1988.
Now, I will confess, up until 2 days ago, I had never seen this movie. Ever. My entire lifetime. I had gone my entire lifetime up to this point, never seeing this movie, and I will go the rest of my lifetime without watching this movie again. Was this... You may not remember either, 88. You would have been all of, like, what, 12 years old? 11, 12?
Yeah, somewhere 11 there. Going on 12, yeah.
Was this marketed as a kid's movie?
I think so. I mean, The Dark Crystal was marketed as a kid's movie, so I'm sure this
was. We really didn't like children in the 80s. I mean, this was a horror movie in parts.
Yeah. So, in my defense... I'm not sure that I'd ever seen Willow. I think I had. I think I'd seen Willow. I have no memory of Willow other than, you know, it starred a bunch of little people. And it was kind of a fantasy movie. Warwick Davis was a thing for a while. I think he had his own TV show, right? And this movie, and I remember the name Mad Mardigan. That sounded really familiar to me when I watched it. This is a beloved movie, though. Like any list of underrated fantasy movies, you'll find this movie on, right?
Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you so early on, the Hallmark. Warwick Davis, who is still alive, which is surprising because little people I thought usually have medical complications, but currently filming Apple's TV episodes of Willow.
Yeah, man.
Early slated 2022.
Getting remade as an 8-episode series.
He was in a TV series in 2020 called Moomin Valley. He was in Star Wars Episode 9. He was in Harry Potter video game, Star Wars Rebels TV series he was in, Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi he was in. So he's got a pretty long buckaroo. No. Buckaboo. Okay. I was like, does this say Buckaroo Bonsai? I know. Dwarves Assemble, a TV miniseries he's in. He's in the TV miniseries from 2013. The Day They Came to Suck Out Our Brains. 2011-2013 series, Life's Too Short. He's in a whole bunch of... IMDb is huge.
Yeah, he is a prolific actor.
Yeah. I didn't recognize him, but then... Yeah, I didn't recognize him, but he's got 125 credits.
Yeah, I want to say he had a TV show in the 80s, but you know, this movie has a pedigree, right? It's got Val Kilmer. It was directed by Ron Howard, who was coming off a series of movies: Night Shift, Splash, Cocoon, Gung Ho, and Willow.
Splash, Cocoon, and Gung Ho. That really... So Willow, Splash, Cocoon, and Gung Ho, that really sums up the 80s right there. That really tells you the quality of caliber of some of the movies in 1980s.
Well, and he follows up Willow with Parenthood, which I think is a great movie.
I haven't watched it recently. I have memories of it being uncomfortable and hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think you've seen this before. You don't have much memory, though.
I don't.
I am positive I've never seen this movie before, ever. And I think we were about 5 minutes in, and boyfriend Jesse was like, nope, I'm out. And he just went out of the garage and started gaming. So I was on my own, I think. Maybe he even left the house. I can't remember.
I had the same reaction.
Yeah, I first of all, so all right, so the
this movie is a weird combination of like the Moses story and Conan the Barbarian and like Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, right?
So the story is, here's the storyline, and this is from IMDb directly, so I'm not claiming I did this work. I'm just repeating it. The baby girl is discovered in a river by Rannan and Mims, the children of Willow Ufgood. So that preempts the opening of the movie, which is all about talking about baby murdering, which is a dark open. The whole premise of the movie is that they want to kill a baby.
Yeah, we started this movie as like a Friday night family movie night.
Oops.
And like 2 minutes in, my kids were like, no. And my wife was like, what are you doing? Like, it's a PG movie from the 80s. I didn't know there was going to be a bunch of baby murdering in the first scene.
I know. I had the same reaction. I thought, and that's when I wrote, was this marketed as a kids movie? This is not a kids movie. We didn't like kids in the 80s. That's what this means. We didn't like. We have some better standards now, I hope, knock on wood. So the storyline, the synopsis that's abbreviated here, omits the opening scene of talking about baby murder and kidnap, and then just shoving the baby down the river in a basket, Moses style, which is pretty biblical. Although we do see, you know, we see Val Kilmer in his future. Was she wife, girlfriend?
Why?
Are they married?
Yeah,
they're married. And then I saw George Lucas's name, and I think that's when I texted you. I was like, I am not happy. So, yeah, let me finish the storyline. We'll go through the storyline. So, Willow Ufgood, who they say is a dwarf farmer and magician, his children find the baby Willow, the baby girl in the stream basket in one of those little, I don't know, tidal pools or whatever. And the mother, basically, Willow's wife, takes the baby and says, no, we're keeping the baby. Even though Willow wants nothing to do with another baby. In the meantime, these evil forces done by the Queen Bavmorda, names in this movie. Anyway, the Queen Bavmorda wants the baby because the baby is part of prophecy, and if she kills the baby, she will remain in power forever, I think, is what they were trying to allude to.
She has never, she's never read a myth or seen any movie that has a prophecy in it. She should know.
Yeah. She has her forces, including her daughter and one of her senior evil henchmen, go out and terrorize the land in pursuit of this baby so they can bring the baby back to Queen Bavmorda so the queen can kill the baby in a ritual and ensure her longevity in her evilness.
Her eternal reign of terror.
There is some shenanigans where Willow stands before a group of the dwarves to become the high something,
an apprentice to the sorcerer,
the wizard, right?
Yeah.
And he fails his quest, but the wizard kind of takes a liking to him and tells him, no, your instinct was right. You chose wrong, but you chose wrong because you ignored your instinct. But I know your instinct was right. So he instills some wisdom-ish into Willow and says, you know, just trust, you're going to be there. Gives him some magic acorns that will turn things to stone and tells him to, you know, be on their way for the whatever. And then the discovers that they...
Even before that, there's some weird scenes about village politics and the debt economy of the farmers.
Yeah. Yeah, there is some not so subtle commentary.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of a George Lucas thing, I think. But it turns out that Bev Mortis forces are terrorizing the villages. Turns out that they know that there's a, but Willow brings forth the baby to the council. The council says, no, 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 baby's got to go. And so he and a couple other dwarves take on a mission to go. I don't know where they're headed, but basically they want to take the baby somewhere else.
They want to give the baby to the first tall person they meet.
Woman.
And then just fuck off.
Yeah. And so they take out across the land, and they have some adventures back and forth. But then they meet up with at a crossroads,
mm-hmm.
where Mad Mardigan, Val Kilmer, is trapped, imprisoned in a cage for thieving, maybe? It's never clear.
Nope, never said.
I don't think they ever say why he's there.
Someone comes along and says they're not surprised he's there, but they don't ever say why.
Apparently no one is surprised he's there, including himself.
Mm-hmm.
Although he sounds like one of the Billy Goats gruff. He has a weird accent and affect trapped in this cage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing something, and I don't know what it is, but it's not good. By the way, he drops it halfway through the movie and then changes accents completely. Inexplicably. But
he... okay. I liked Val Kilmer in this movie. I found him to be very, very charming and compelling and fun to watch.
I like Val Kilmer in almost everything. And I don't disagree with you. I like him. I like his performance. I just think that what he had to work with was garbage.
Oh, so, it was. He also had obviously real chemistry with the daughter of Bebmorda.
His future wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were great together.
Well, I think if you watch the documentary Val, narrated by his son, which I have watched, by the way.
And that's why I picked this movie, because you had said really good things about the documentary Val. And I think we were all pretty, I think we could all be described on this podcast as fans or at least appreciators of Val Kilmer's work.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that had a really good reputation as being one of the lost Val Kilmer movies. So when we had a opportunity on the calendar, I seized upon it. So really, it's your fault.
Oh, well, all right. We're even for something. yeah, so they encounter Mad Mardigan. Their compatriot tall people come by warring, battling, losing a battle, apparently, and retreating, maybe?
Unclear. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they see Mad Mardigan and he wants to let out, and they're like, nope, you're a thief, and then they move on. And so basically they let Mad Mardigan out. They talk about giving him the baby, and he's like, oh yes, I'll take the baby. And there is some debate because Willow's like, take it, I'm done, I'm out. And the other guy's like, I don't know, this guy's a thief, and Willow's like, no, here, have it. And then immediately has buyer's remorse, as it were.
Seller's remorse, really.
And so they give Mad Mardigan the baby, and he traipses off, and they, I don't know what they do, but Willow then immediately decides, no, I can't do this. And so he goes back after Mad Mardigan, but is this where they meet the brownies?
Yes.
So here's the thing about the brownies, little tiny pixie creature things. Mm-hmm. First of all, totally ripped off Tinkerbell.
Yeah, if Tinkerbell was drunk and also Kevin Pollak.
No. I mean, there was a fairy scene, and the fairy was, they had a Tinkerbell character.
Oh.
And it looked like Tinkerbell. Yeah, the little drunk Kevin Pollak. Why were they friends?
I think Ron Howard just told them to use accents. I think that was the entirety of his direction.
You think he told the whole crew that? That would explain a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're using accents in this movie.
didn't specify what accent or even the same accent, just use one.
Yeah, may not have cared.
These brownie French guys were really getting on my nerves because it was distracting. They were funny. They were the comic relief of this movie, which I appreciated because it was probably the only thing that I liked about this movie, per se, plot-wise, because not plot-wise, no. Dialogue-wise, I will say, because the plot was crap. But if this had been a horror movie, I think it would have been better. That's what I'm trying to say. As it is as a sci-fi fantasy medieval kids movie, this failed on many levels. Anyway, turns out that the brownies, so sorceress,
the leader of the brownies directs Willow, because they stole the baby from Ed Mardigan. The leader of the brownies tells Willow that this baby is important, tells him about the prophecy, knows the name of the baby for some reason, and tells Willow he has to take the baby to some sorceress who can help him use the baby to defeat Bevmorda.
Right. The brownies he travels with, Frangine and Rule, that explains a lot. So the sorceress, I think, brings the brownies have a bird that kidnaps the baby and brings it back to Willow. Is that what happens? My memory serves.
They take the baby to the brownie village, and then the brownies also kidnap Willow and his friend.
Yes.
And then drag them to the village. Like Lilliputians.
A lot of this movie was borrowed from other things.
Completely derivative.
Yeah. And so then Willow decides he's going to take on this battle. And then they move forward. Except that just at some point, does Willow take the baby? I don't know. There's so much happening. I don't think it matters. But basically, there is fight, wagon,
well, they stop at a bar because they need to get some milk for the baby. They run into Mad Mardigan and Drag, and then the bad guys, the main, I think the Bevmorda's daughter and the main henchman bad guy, who is a staple of the Indiana Jones movies.
Skeletor.
Yeah, he looked like Skeletor. They show up, they see the baby, big fight. And now Mad Mardigan and Willow are together. Some pretty good wagon stunts. I will say that.
Yeah, although in one scene I could see a trailer tire at one point.
Yeah.
That made me giggle. Fight, wagon. They take off. They hide from the evils. And they're headed off to find...
They're looking for this island where this sorceress lives, who can help
who's
them.
Who apparently is the all-powerful one.
Yeah, because the brownies gave Willow a wand, because that's supposed to be part of the arc of his character, is he wants to become a great sorcerer.
He goes out to the island, and then was it a marmoset?
Some kind of rodent.
A lemur. Maybe it was a lemur. Anyway, I think it was a lemur. But anyway, he goes to the island. The sorceress isn't there. Instead, she's a lemur marmoset, whatever. I would have expected this to have been a Carole King type character.
Yeah.
So
the evil queen had already transformed her into this rodent thing.
And so the rest of the comedic relief in this movie is... Willow trying to transform her back to her human form, but then successively transforms her into different animals.
Yes.
They carry on and go forward, and she tells Willow about the full prophecy and what it means, and that she's supposed to usher in the rain, and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter.
I have no memory of that.
And then... I can't even remember what happens left. They ended up in a village.
On a mountain?
Yes. There was like a James Bondian sledding scene.
After Mad Mardigan drinks a love potion from the brownies inadvertently and winds up in love with Bevmorda's daughter.
And so there's some where Matt Mardigan is reacquainted with his fellow band of fighters who say, no, we're not fighting. We've gotten our asses kicked. We're hiding. Mm-hmm. And then as it turns out, when they get the baby back and they do fight and blah, 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 and they get away. And so they make a retreat kind of, and then they escape. Then Mad Mardigan kidnaps Sorsha and they start on horseback back to the castle. I don't think it matters. Anyway,
it doesn't. They were looking for an army that was supposedly ready to fight Vimorta. They found him, but they'd already been turned to ice, right?
Yes. Or diamonds or whatever.
Yeah. And they encountered some trolls. And
yeah.
And the giant German dude from Raiders of the Lost Ark got the baby Skeletor and whisked the baby away. So then they had to regroup and go try and get the baby back, and yada yada, final battle, and Mad Mardigan is fighting Skeletor. Willow and the sorceress are fighting the evil queen. Lots of baby murder attempts are happening.
So as they're fighting at this weird castle before they get to Bavmorda's castle, there are so many horror elements going on. The trolls, which are these weird hairy ape creatures, mm-hmm. Willow kills one of them.
Mm-hmm.
When it morphs into a brain with two alien heads popping out of it that he then shoves into the water.
It turns into like a scene from The Thing, the John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, it was horrific.
Yeah.
And then that gets reincarnated into, apparently it's like gremlins, it hits water and reconstitutes, and turns into a giant double-headed dragon beast thing.
Yeah, this huge Hydra thing.
Yeah, which was also, I think, as if you were a child, would be also fairly horrific, because they're like stabbing it through its head. So it's trying to kill and eat everybody indiscriminately. The trolls are trying to get the baby. The enemies are trying to get the baby. They're trying to keep the baby. Willow doesn't seem to be able to get his magic to work, although he keeps lacking confidence and failing and blah, blah, blah. Skeletor gets the baby. And that's where they head back to the castle.
Yeah.
Baby killing, baby killing, baby killing.
Yeah, you could probably tell by my version of those events. I was so exhausted at this point in the movie. I just did not care. This is supposed to be like this huge action set piece, yeah, with lots of special effects, and I was just like, just maybe at this point just kill the baby yourself.
Two hours long. This movie was over 2 hours long.
It felt like more. Yeah.
But I did like the little Fremen style beach assault where they were all under, they all buried themselves to storm the castle. Except here's the other horror element. They get turned into pig people.
Yes.
Which is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is terrifying. If I were an 8-year-old watching this movie, it would have scared the crap. Granted, everything scared the crap out of me when I was 8, but horrific. Horrific. This is not a kid's movie. They storm the castle. They go back and forth. Fight, fight, fight. Death, Sorsha realizes that her mother, Bavmorda, is evil like she didn't already know, trying to kill babies. Ed says she's not going to let her mother do it, and her mother's like, whatever, cast her aside. And that's where the sorceress and Bavmorda start fighting back and forth, and the sorceress gets injured, and Willow has to take up the cause with his little scepter branch magic wand, where he pulls the ultimate magician switch game, that which is an actual callback to the beginning of the movie, where he pretends to send the baby to another dimension.
Maybe the most unsatisfying way this movie could end.
Is this when it ended? I cannot remember when this movie ended. it jettisoned from my mind so quickly after I stopped watching it. I believe this is shortly. No, because Willow went back to his village. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially the end of the story, and then there's an epilogue with the hero's return. And
do you think Lucas had thought he was going to serialize this?
Yes.
I thought so, too. Mm-hmm. Thank God it didn't happen. So, my notes. George Lucas, oh, come on. So was the floating basket to send the baby down the river, and was that already ready-made? Did she have that in the ready?
Looked like it.
It seems, I would hope so, because it seemed pretty, it would have been pretty negligent and malfeasant to just, no, I think this will float and shove a baby down a river in it.
Yeah, maybe that's just a Daikini thing where you always carry a baby in a buoyant carrier just in case.
Maybe. That's like the car safety seat of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the band in the dwarf village, they apparently had an electric bass guitar, which is impressive. Let's see, Tinkerbell ripoff.
You didn't even mention the scary looking pig dogs.
Yeah, they killed the dog, so I never liked that. So I just moved past that. Even the pig dogs, I don't like, you know. With the exception of the thing, I'm not really pro dog death. Val Kilmer's voice changed at the 53-minute mark. The brownies are French, inexplicably. I said, oh, now it's a horror movie. The trolls are alien brains. Oh, now there's pig people. What the actual fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just stopped taking notes because I was exhausted too. So my reaction is to give this movie a big F, but I can't do that because there's Val Kilmer in it. And it does have some pop culture value. What does IMDb have it rated as? 7.3 out of 10. I think that's a little high. I would give this movie a D. Not a D plus, not a D minus. I'll give it a D. I'd say 6 out of 10. Maybe 6.5. But not 7.
Did Ebert review this movie? I mean, that's a critical question, though. Literally a critical.
119 critical reviews.
Two and a half stars from Ebert.
Out of 5?
4.
That seems high. He did review it.
Yeah.
It is not fearsome and it is not wondrous. And it is about a journey too far down a road too well traveled by other movies. I would agree with that. What was supposed to make Willow special was the, by the way, I'm quoting from Roger Ebert from the website, so giving credit to the website. This is a sword and sorcery epic produced by George Lucas, and directed by Ron Howard, whose human touch may kick him, blah, blah, blah. Alas, even the largest budgets and the most meticulous special effects, there was meticulous special effects in this, are only dead weight unless they have a good story to make them move. And at the story level, Willow is turgid and relentlessly predictable. I use turgid. I give him so much credit, so much love. Not much really happens, and when it does, its pace is slowed by special effects set pieces, then run on too long. I agree with that. It seemed to be recycled out of earlier movies. I agree with that. The story, blah, blah, blah. One of the crucial problems in Willow is that we see so much of this baby. Yes, I agree. She is dragged from one end of the known world to the other, usually with a plucky smile on her face. And whenever something interesting happens, we get an appropriate reaction shot from the baby. Hey, I like kids, but even baby Leroy couldn't have saved this character. I don't get that reference, but we'll go with it. The dragon is well done. All the special effects are competent. But they do not breathe with the fire of life because they're not motivated by a strong story that we care about. The characters in Willow are shallow. True. And unexciting, and the story is plod through recycled legend. Therefore, even the battle with the dragon is a foregone conclusion. There can be no true suspense in a movie where even the characters seem to be inspired by other movies. Yeah, I at no point thought the baby was going to die. I think that's the thing. There was no suspense. Like, you knew they were going to kill a baby.
I don't know. I was hoping.
Just so it ends?
Yeah.
I just snorted. Wow.
It's like a pig. So person.
That was Roger Ebert's review. I don't disagree with Roger Ebert. He's I think 2.5 stars is generous, though.
his last line is great. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit for context.
Sure.
But he is describing just like all of the huge mishmash of concepts and ideas in this movie.
Okay.
He's saying touches like that will only confuse kids who know that good dreams do not have to be clever or consistent or expensive, but that they should never, ever make you want to wake up. And that's his final criticism of Willow.
That's what we call a nightmare, kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in review, not worth it. Val Kilmer's cool, but there are better Val Kilmer movies. And I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry,
I put you through even that. For whatever horribleness that we're somehow even for Knight Rider, which was apparently my fault.
You're the big brother. It's always your fault.
Yeah. Hey, I have a bigger brother, so we both have a bigger brother. All right. So are we done talking about this movie?
I think
please
we are.
God. I've been gaming. I'm pissed off by Facebook/Oculus.
Oh, how come?
So I bought a Rift S headset. I don't know if you know anything about VR headsets.
No, but I'm glad you were bringing this up because I had questions for you.
So I have like the middle generation of VR headsets. So there was the early generation of headset. You got a headset and it was cabled, and it was cabled to your computer, and you had to put sensors in your room so that it could modulate and triangulate your position in the room to approximate the VR portion. Mine was the next generation beyond that, where it has the sensors built into the headset, but it's still wired. It's still wired to my computer. So you have a really long optic cable that's got a digital optic cable into the computer and a USB connection for sound and other things. One cable with a splitter at the end. And it's, of course, it's a custom Oculus cable.
Right.
The new generation of Rift is completely self-contained.
So
no cords.
No computer?
No, you don't need a computer for some things because it can download some games. But if there are certain PC-only games that are available that you want to play, you need to get an interface cable for the unit that will have to plug into your PC, and it uses a USB-C connection, which my PC does not have. So we moved in. I set up the VR in the living room because you have to go through a couple steps and you touch the ground to tell it where the ground is relative to you, where you stand. And then you like draw an outline of your play area. So, cause it gives you a guardian boundary. If you exceed the boundary, cause you don't know where you're at. I have been turned around so many times in a game that I'm not even looking at the television set. Cause that's how good the VR is. You get turned around. It's all encompassing, right? Looking at my dog. So when we moved in, I installed the computer, put it in its place, installed the VR, I've been playing some games for a while. And then I just got busy and I put it aside for months and months. And then last week, when I had all this extra time, I thought, I'm gonna go back to this game that I started and never, ever finished. And the optical cable wouldn't work. And I thought, well, that's weird. It just stops working. It just stopped working. I hadn't even been using it, but it just stopped working. Okay. So I had bought Derek a duplicate VR because he was a little jealous when I bought mine. So for Christmas that year, because it's a couple years old, I bought him the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we had the same thing, so he wouldn't be jealous. So he had one for his computer because his computer was quote unquote better than mine because he'd souped it up. So he had one and I had one duplicates. And of course, when we moved, I packed his up and I still have it because it was expensive and I'm not going to get rid of it. So I contacted Oculus support and I said, here's my problem. I was talking to a live person, well, chatting with a live person, supposedly. Swap the cable from a different headset, and my problem is resolved-ish. But the symptom is that sometimes it doesn't recognize the USB part of the cable. And the remedy is to unplug it and plug it into an entirely different USB port. And sometimes that will resolve it, but then sometimes I have to unplug it, reboot the machine, and then plug it into a USB port after I'm all logged in. They don't make my model anymore because they make the new model. They mm-hmm. don't sell replacement parts anymore. For a $500 appliance they sold for 2 years, they don't
support sell it anymore.
Nope. Which is actually in California, I think, is against state law. I think if a product, if a electronics product is more than $200, I think they have to have parts for 7 years. But anyway, I'm not in California, so it doesn't help me. But so I'm going to have to find an aftermarket third-party cable that will work. But I, so far, I'm not having a lot of luck finding one that's not like $150. And so at that rate, I told Jesse, I'm just like, I'm just going to save my money and I'll, I don't want to. I'm pissed off. I hate being forced to upgrade, but I don't see an option but to upgrade or, you know, deal with this. I'm dealing with it now. So I guess I can live with this as long as it continues to work. And then at some point it will stop. I'm sure it will stop working at some point. So I've been looking at the new ones. They're about $300 or $400 depending on the memory that you get for them. The memory allows you to download games into them so that they're self-contained. It is rechargeable and you can get a bigger battery pack with it, I think, some kind of supplemental, I think. And the controllers, of course, I couldn't tell if the controllers are rechargeable. My controllers take batteries, like Xbox controllers. It just takes one AA, but instead of two or four. But the headset itself, I think, is probably rechargeable, I would assume. So it is self-contained. You can download some self-contained games and you can do virtual reality completely untethered. Some PC games that are PC VR based only, you would have to be cabled for. The cable, however, like my cable, it's probably a 30-foot cable. And you don't stand that far away from your, in theory, you don't stand that far away from your computer. Although you don't need to stand that far at all. Cause really you're not, if you're doing it correctly, you're actually not moving all that much. from your standing position, your arms are probably moving like crazy. So,
the questions I had for you were, so my wife is interested in a VR headset. I don't know why. She's not really a video game person, but she heard about and maybe saw a video of like a game where you like walk a plank between two high rises and it completely fucks people up.
Wow. Now I'm interested.
Yeah, so she's interested, but you know, so I was going to talk to you because we don't game on PC. I mean, I have a PS, I have all of the PlayStations, I think.
PlayStation 2 is 21 years old now.
Is it really?
I believe so.
But I still have it in my garage. I guess I
got my... March 4th, 2000.
I got my PS1 in 1999, and that was... I think that was a couple years old at that point.
March 4th, 2000, it was introduced.
Nice. Yeah, so we don't have a PC. I don't even know. I was going to ask you, what if we were to invest in one, what should we get?
Well, I only have experience with the Oculus, and from when I was shopping before, it's the only one that I thought was worthwhile because it could multi-purpose. Now, Oculus Quest 2 is the newest one. I wonder if it says what games are available within the device. Apps and game. There's an Oculus. Oh, Resident Evil.
Hard pass.
I play Beat Saber, actually, a lot. And that kicks my ass. So I like it, but I can only play it for about 20, 30 minutes, and I feel like an old man. There are lots of games. I don't know if any of them apply to you. Oh, Star Trek Bridge Crew. I play that. That's a fun game. It's a collaborative. I mean, you can play by yourself, but it's better if you have multiple people. Like if I were online, we could play together. Beat Saber is the same way, by the way. You can collaborate with other people, friends. Go to Oculus's website, oculus.com, O-C-U-L-U-S. You can look at their games that they have and search for the game that she's looking for if she knows the name. Although I'm sure that you can look for the description. I'm sure you can find it online. So I don't have any recommendation other than I've only had experience with Oculus. I'm pissed at them right now, so I don't want to recommend them. But I also think when I did all my research, they were the best option for compatibility-wise. And also, I didn't think that they were going to fold quickly. They haven't, and they're still around. Oculus is not going away as a division of Facebook, although I'm, you know, their quick obsolescence was annoying. But as indicated from some research I did, it looks like the Rift, it's the Rift 2, I believe. Quest 2. The Quest 2 is the newest one. It's likely to be supported for some time. But that's a big asterisk because I don't trust anything they say now.
Nice. The game is called Richie's Plank Experience.
Richie's Plank Experience. It shows up in the Oculus store. Wow. Oh, no. Wow. Yeah, that looks freaky. I'm going to have to look at that. Oh, yeah. That does look like a freaky game. So you're, what is the purpose? You're supposed to jump from one?
I have no idea.
I'm sold. It looks good.
She just said one of her coworkers tried it at a friend's house, and like it messed with their equilibrium so hard that they almost fell onto the floor.
It will do that. It can do that. It can be very disorienting. My experience with the I've had some issues where I get turned around wrong, and what I've learned to do now is I've set my play area up illegally. I've set it up smaller. Sorry, I've lied about the space that I have,
mm-hmm.
And I tell it that my coffee table is within the range of my play area. So I keep the back of my calves up against the coffee table so I know where I am and don't move. Because otherwise I end up... The Guardian will tell you if you exceed the space, it'll change colors on the screen and you get this big old warning like, you have walked out of your play area or whatever. But, you know, the biggest fear is like you're going to punch your TV with the controller. So you want to make sure your play area is short enough that you don't have arms reach to like do things like that. So I haven't had any problems, knock on wood. So that's the only real issues. It's very easily disorients. If you have equilibrium issues, it can mess you up for sure. But some of the VR stuff is really astonishingly realistic motion wise, and it just absolutely wreck your brain.
Sounds great.
It's fun. I actually enjoy it. It's good in the good relatively. You're not sitting, you're standing. So the good news is you're standing, which I think is probably better from a gaming perspective, because my fat ass isn't sitting where I can sit forever, where I can stand for not as long. So the good news is I can't game for too long. But also, I think it's just better in general to be standing, like my standing desk at work, things like that. So, but like it's a Beat Saber is great for working out because half an hour of that and I'm dead. So, and it's fun. Beat Saber is fun. Frustrating.
Is it kid friendly?
What's that?
Is it kid friendly?
Yeah, it's music. So it's music and you're slashing object squares with two lightsabers, one left hand, one right hand.
Right on.
So yeah. Beat Saber's kid. I mean, I don't think it's kid friendly. It depends on the music you like. There's a Linkin Park pack. Of course, you have to buy the music. That's not included with it. There's a Linkin Park pack. There's a Billie Eilish pack right now. There's Linkin Park, Billie Eilish. Imagine Dragons has one. Panic at the Disco has one. So you can buy all kinds of music packs for it as well.
We would need a Julian the Phantoms pack.
Don't know.
Oh, by
there
the
is
way,
a way to is... make.
This is some fun housekeeping. Complete tangent. Julian the Phantoms, when it first came out, early in, I guess, mid-summer-ish in, 2020? It was, right mid-pandemic. What we thought was going to be the pandemic, which is still going. I guess mid-lockdown is how we could describe it. My kids discovered the show on their own. It was their thing for a while. We did a podcast about it. They love it. And at the time, they looked it up and they found that season 2 is supposed to come out in September 2021.
Oh, nice. Oh, wait.
Yeah. But, you know, and I didn't fact check for them, but what I'm pretty sure happened is they just Googled, you know, season 2 Julian the Phantoms, and they found one of those websites, which it's just gets clicks by speculating.
Yes.
It probably said something like, all indications are it should come out in September 2021.
Yeah. Dune Part 2 will be out sometime in 2022.
Right. And it wasn't. So I looked into it. And it won a couple of daytime Emmys for the music. I think for something else. But So it was kind of in the news cycle again. And I looked it up, and they don't even have a deal with Netflix to do season two. The last news story I could find about it, the executive producer mentioned that they were still in talks with Netflix to potentially do a season two. I was like, oh no,
they're still in talks.
I was like this. So I had to have a conversation with them, explaining to them a little bit how TV can work sometimes. And it's unlikely that there will ever be a season two. And if there is, it's not going to be available to watch for another year at least. Which, you know...
And might not even be the same actors at all. Might not be the same talent.
Right. I was like... I did not have the conversation with them. Like, I don't even know if these people are still under contract. So who knows?
Or they might be under contract somewhere else.
Yeah. So that was like their first experience of something they love might not be coming back. Because, you know, they're growing up in a world where everything is on demand with this huge catalog. They don't typically watch shows that are being created contemporaneously, so they're not...
They've never watched 26 episodes of Twin Peaks only to have it canceled.
Yeah, or a season of one of the greatest shows ever, Terriers, to find out that no one else watched it and it's not coming back. Or Rubicon.
Yeah, it's always those... Yeah, the pain... Well, also, pilot programs, one program would greenlight a season. Mm-hmm. Now... A pilot may not ever happen, and they may greenlight three episodes, and then they go from there. So it's a totally different landscape. It's painful. That's why I told Jesse, because he wants to watch stuff all the time. He's constantly watching stuff. He consumes Hulu and Netflix seems to be nonstop. And I don't care. It keeps him out of my hair. You know, it keeps him from annoying me too much when we're not doing stuff. So I'm fine with that. Whatever. But, what's my point? See, I did an Eric. I lost my tangent.
The point is, kids these days, they don't know. They don't know the pain.
Oh, yeah. So, my rule is, until there's a second or third season, unless it's really compelling, I'm never going to watch the first season. I'm going to wait until the third season, because I don't want to have the pain of investing into a season of something to have it canceled.
Which is exactly the attitude that kills some shows, right?
I know, but
everybody's waiting for season two, so nobody will watch the first season one, so it gets canceled, never gets...
Yeah, and so it's one of those, which is why when I watched For All Mankind, I was telling everybody about it. I'm like, you have to watch this show. Like, you don't understand how good this show is. Like, I cannot convey how good it is. It's not going to make you happy necessarily, but it's a great show. It's well done. So, I'm trying to temper my resistance.
Oh, tangent on a tangent on a tangent. I have a story about that. One of my contractors is doing some work for me, but at work, not like a home contractor. I hire people to help support my program at work, and he was going to bring somebody in to help me with this part of my program. And he said, oh, by the way, she's actually a former astronaut, you know, come back to civilian work.
That's cool.
And, yeah, he's telling me a little bit about her history. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I only have one question for her. Has she watched For All Mankind? And if the answer is yes, I have a second question. What did she think about it? And, which, I don't know. I imagine if you're an astronaut, that's probably a really annoying line of questioning, that type of stuff. What do you think about this pop culture thing that may or may not depict what you experienced? But also, I thought about it later, because he's like, oh, yeah, I'll totally ask her. It'll be great. And he did. And he got back to me and he was like, she hasn't seen it yet, but it's on her list. When she watches it, she'll let you know. And I thought, oh, cool. That'd be a really interesting data point. But then I realized I had a moment of self-awareness.
Now you're going to have to talk to her.
No. Worse. I'm the client. They may have no interest. They may be super annoyed at this whole thing, but they have to act cheery and try and acquiesce to what I want because, you know, they want me to continue to employ them. I'm like, oh, God.
Nah, don't worry about it. Just say, if you happen to watch it, no pressure. I'm trying to find people that like it or hate it so I can get other opinions.
Yeah.
Just play it off. Bohica.
Yeah. It's just one of those moments where I realized I may be unintentionally wielding power. I wasn't trying.
Oh, well. I mean, you, again, assume this is what I've been teaching online lately. Assume good intent. And so people need to assume good intent unless there is evidence to the contrary. Because too much of our society right now assumes ill intent. And that's where all these things happen. So I am trying to constantly foster people need to assume good intent. So,
but you have direct reports, right? You are a boss of some people.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've experienced where you've made a really dumb joke and people laugh too hard at it.
Oh, I don't make jokes.
Okay.
I worked in HR for too long. it ruined me. So, more housekeeping. I texted you and Eric today about Jodorowsky, I'm going to mispronounce his name.
Taika Waititi?
Yes, thank you. Apparently, he's going to adapt Jodorowsky's graphic novel series, The Inkle. I'm sure I mispronounced that, into a film, which I didn't know existed. And so I ended up in a wormhole this morning, or whatever you want to call it, a tangent hole, where I downloaded an app because I didn't know that Amazon had partnered with a comic consortium, but purchased them, I'm sure. So I got the Comixology app, which is $6 a month, but the first month's free. So I have been reading, I've gotten through 6 comic book episodes of a Dune comic book series, but all of the Jodorowsky Inkle graphic novel comic book things are available if you have the unlimited plan, which is, as a member, you pay like $6 a month. So anyway, I've got through 5 episodes of Dune, which are prequel. They're House Atreides. They're prequel-ish. Which I'm actually enjoying. So I got sucked into that. So if you're into comic books and you want to look at comic books on your phone or your Kindle or your iPad or whatever, I don't know. Does Kindle have color?
Some do.
It does. Some do. So Kindle Fire does, right? Kindle Classic probably does not. Anyway, there's some interesting features of the app where it will you can move panel to panel, although some of the crops are a little weird. Or you can look at the entire page comic book style. On my phone, it was a little hard to look comic book style. Anyway, so my next goal after I finish the Dune series is I'm going to go through the Jodorowsky series because I'm infinitely interested. I didn't know this existed. So I'm totally down to see what artwork and things. So that was one thing. That took up way too much of my morning.
I use the Marvel Unlimited app. To read Marvel comics, and they have really figured out the page view where it zooms between different panels, and depending on which you can, you know, watch either a landscape or portrait on your phone, and it'll just they do that really well. They're also starting to produce comics directly for the app, so it's like just it's one continuous vertical comic that you just keep scrolling down on your phone. Marvel's really leaning into that technology. They've got to get a handle on it.
So if you want to, for free for a month, since we're probably all Prime members, you just have to sign in with your account and you can look at all the stuff in this app and it's available. There's a lot of comics available.
Yeah.
I have 2 books that I found that aren't on Audible yet that are in the series that I've been listening to. That are 21 books. And so the last 2 books have been created, but not audioized or whatever you want to call them. So I'm going to probably buy the books, but I'm probably going to buy them for my phone. I'm not going to actually get paperbacks because I don't know who does. I don't think I need more paper in my house. But in the meantime, I've gone back. I've started listening to the books from the beginning because that's how much I like the series. But this comic book thing, this comic book tangent has derailed me for the moment.
What's the series?
The book series?
Yeah.
It's by sci-fi artist CJ Cherry, who has written tons of stuff, but the Foreigner series is the series that I'm reading / listening to. They're trilogy story arcs. So there's three. So there's a story arc, self-contained plot within three books. So there's three books, which are one arc, and then the next three books are another arc. It's all the same characters, pretty much. There's one main character. There's five or six main characters that are throughout all of the novels. But it's basically centered around one guy. It's all written from one guy's perspective. And he's obviously through the whole series. So tons of books. I think each book's about, if you listen on audio, each book's about 12 hours. So it's a fair bit of listening. But I really enjoy them. And again, I told boyfriend Jesse, I'm old enough that I don't remember them after having read them. So the good thing is I can go back and I remember pieces, but I pick up more than I've clearly either lost or didn't hear the first time. So I'm kind of enjoying that nostalgia trip. Cause I got tired of reading political novels and true documentary novels and Trump and elections. And I needed to escape back into my sci-fi world for a while. On top of all my gaming, I'm playing one game, which is Half-Life Alyx on my VR. That's what I've been spending all my time doing. When the parents were here, we found boyfriend Jesse had already found the donut shop locally to us. I had never been there because I don't need donuts because I will eat them. But mom and dad and I went and got donuts, and they were some of the best donuts. And it's way too close to my house. They had blueberry fritters and cherry fritters and apple fritters, and they even had pumpkin cream cheese fritters, which were like pumpkin pie, which really just tasted like cinnamon, really. Lots of donuts. They had pretty good donuts. So, and they were cheap. They were affordable. Joe's Donuts is the name of the place. I'll give them a plug, even though they're local. So if you ever visit, we will go there because they have seriously good donuts and nice. It's local. It's also very close to the house. I had
a blueberry fritter probably 18 years ago in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. That was delicious. I still remember it.
I had one. I can't remember where I had one. It was either in Seattle or I don't think it was in Portland. I think I was up in Seattle somewhere, or maybe in Vegas. It was at a Krispy Kreme, but it was maybe not. But it was amazing. It was mind-blowingly good. And then, of course, I could never find one ever again. And then Fred's for a while was selling these cherry fritters, but the cherry fritters were really sweet. They were really overglazed. So I have a recipe to make cherry fritters. One of these days when I get advantageous, I'll try that. But these blueberry fritters were pretty good. And so I'm hesitant to go buy a cherry fritter to find out how good it is. Because, again, I don't need to be eating all these fritters. But if you all ever visit, I have a guest room with a giant TV in it. The parents survived, so I haven't killed them. So they apparently the guest room was livable. They liked the bed, apparently, so that's good.
Nice.
It's brand new, so I would hope so. And then what else this week? I watched a Hulu documentary-ish, about an hour and a half long. I think it's worth your time because it's interesting. It's Becoming Bond. It's the George Lazenby story where he's actually – they interview him. He's talking through most of it.
Oh, nice.
Talks about, his origins as an Australian, how he was flunking out of high school and a car mechanic and a car salesman, and that's how he became Bond as a male model, apparently. And after the Bond movie, he said – I don't need to do this. This is not for me. I walked away. Because they wanted to sign him for six more pictures.
Six more. Good for him.
And it's actually, it's got some really, he's pretty self-aware about his past and the things he did that were probably not right. And some of the shenanigans. It's pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. It's funny to listen to him talk because he's clearly Australian, and so my concept of him was British Bond, and so British Bond more with the less of an accent than anything, but I would recommend it. It's worth your hour and a half if you're caught up on everything else to watch, but it's worth a listen, I think. Otherwise I go back to work on Monday. It was nice while it lasted.
Nice. Speaking of mom and dad's trip, the dog sitting's been going really well.
Oh, I forgot you have both dogs.
Yeah.
Has there been a heat yet?
No.
All that worrying was for naught.
Lots of she loves to chew everything possible. So
yeah.
Lots of little toys have been sacrificed, which is great because.
Gives you an excuse to throw them away.
Well, I mean, you can only tell them to get stuff off the floor so many times, and then now there are consequences beyond just getting yelled at. So that's good. But yeah, she and Bruno is.
That's what our father would call lesson building.
Yes. She's way more energetic than Bruno is. So, they wrestle and fight for a while. And then when he's done, he makes it very clear to her that he's done and finds something else to do. So, not a problem.
Is she with the cats?
She's fine. They're not. she's very interested in them, and she does not chase them until they run. But they are very. She's so curious. She wants to get right up in their face. So, we've got two cats. One just takes off at the first sight. And so she chases him. So now he's got this in his head that
right.
The dog's going to chase him. When really, it's his fault. The other one, the girl, she's pretty
brave.
She's pretty chill. She'll sit there until Kaya gets just too close inside her bubble. And then she'll take off. Well, they're fine. They've got their own space.
I think they're back Monday, right?
Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is there a concert today or tomorrow?
Yeah, she traveled. The dog traveled up to the lake house just fine. She seems to be really digging it out here.
Cool. Well, thank you for taking care of the pets so the parents can travel.
Yeah, no, it's been easier than mom's worrying led me to believe.
I tried to convince her that she was perhaps... you had two kids and two cats and a dog already. I was pretty sure you and Jennifer would be just fine. So, yeah. I hear the kids got their first vaccine dose.
Yes. So excited. Yep. They get their second one right after Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
So, yeah, by the time you're up here, they should be fully vaccinated.
Yay. I won't be here that much later than Thanksgiving. Yay. I need to get Christmas stuff done. Ooh. So good. So no adverse reactions from the vaccine. They seem to be.
No, their arms were a little sore, but
that's normal.
Yeah, that's. We'll see how the second one goes, but yeah, they're fine.
Yay! Well, that's cool. I'm glad that happened. That must be a bit of a relief.
Yes, and the great thing is lots of kids, Jennifer said at the so we got in on the first day they were taking appointments, but the second day that the vaccine was available. And they already had a couple friends who got it the first day. So they were talking about it at school, but the second day when Jennifer took them after school, she said the doctor's office was very busy with kids there getting their shots. So she was happy to see that. And then the next day there were so many kids all commiserating and showing which arms they got their shots in. And so it was really comforting to see just how many are doing it so quickly.
Good.
I always wonder how many science denying lunatics are actually out there. Hopefully it's really is a vocal minority, but you never know.
Is your school district going to allow them to be unvaccinated in school?
I'm sure. I mean, you can be unvaccinated for other stuff already if you claim some sort of exemption.
I think in Oregon, you can only certain vaccines you can opt out of to be in public school. Otherwise, you have to be homeschooled. But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But they're vaccinated, they're protected more. That's, I think, that's a relief. Certainly, I can imagine for the two of you, but that's just a relief for me from a medical standpoint. It's just good to hear So I got my booster, so I'm done too. I'm done with that, thank God. Well, maybe.
Yeah, we'll get ours. I don't know what the guidance is for like who is eligible and who should get them, but
I think it's like over 65 unless you're a frontline worker or healthcare worker or have an underlying medical condition, obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure. If you have any mainstream medical issues, they tell you just go and get it. Although I got my, I couldn't get mine. My employer wasn't giving them to us yet because they're saving them for regular vaccines, which is fine. So I had to go to Fred's and get mine. So I just scheduled it and they asked me if I qualified and I could have, I mean, I'm not advocating lying, but I could have lied about it. They would, there's no way, they don't check.
Yeah. So. And anecdotally up here, apparently if you just go into cars and say you'd like the booster, they don't even ask questions.
Well, I think the parents got theirs before it was even approved. I think Costco didn't even ask them. I think they just went and got their third dose.
Nice.
Which is, I mean, I don't care. I'm glad they got it done. So I'm mm-hmm. certainly don't question nor care. But I just thought, because mom was like, "Hey, Dad," and I got hers. I'm like, it hadn't even been approved yet. How does that work? But anyway. I'm just glad to see that people are getting it, and I'm really excited too that Pfizer announced that they have a pill version of medication that will help. So we'll see what that looks like in the next couple of months as it gets reviewed.
Based on HIV medicine, right?
It has ritonavir? It has an element. It has one of the HIV antiretroviral medications in it, because that mechanism helps suppress the virus from duplicating in the body, which it does the same thing with HIV. It's a lower, much lower dose, because it has the HIV meds have pretty heavy side effects, at least during the induction phase for many people. The first month of HIV meds give you terrible malaise and fatigue and GI upset from both ends. And so some people really, that first month of medication, they say, no, I can't do this for a lifetime. Just get past the month. I know it is terrible. Just get past the month and then you'll be, trust me, it will get better. So yeah, it has one of the HIV meds, one of the antiretrovirals, but they stopped the study because they felt it was not ethical to continue the study because they were giving people the placebo and the people that were getting the placebo were dying. So they're like, yeah, we have to stop the study. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it was 80-85% effective, which is pretty good for an oral medication for somebody who's already active with the disease.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. We grew up in a time where you were told if you had sex, you will contract this incurable disease and eventually die a horrible death. And now,
well, not eventually. It wasn't eventually. It was a year or two.
Yeah,
because I have friends that died. I mean, yeah. In high school, you know, my best friend, one of my best friends, you know, he died in 2 years.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was the reality was. People, you got it, you die with the death sentence. Mm-hmm. And now it's interesting to see nowadays, because I work in public health, nowadays that there's, I don't know if you know anything about PrEP.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Pre-exposure prophylaxis. PrEP is really becoming common because this is not an official statement. I'm not making a medical statement. I'm just saying, from the research that I have and the knowledge that I have and the experience that I have, if every person who is, because it's liver intensive, the medications they use are tough on the liver. Although the newer one of the two, I think Biktarvy is the new one, Truvada is the older one of the two medications. But if everybody who were sexually active who could take the pill were on it, HIV would disappear in a generation or two. It would not exist. Because it makes the virus undetectable in the body, and suppresses it to the point where if it's undetectable, it's not transmittable. So even if you had sex with somebody who had the HIV, if it was undetectable, they couldn't give it to you. There would be nothing for them to give to you. So it's proven such a powerful, it's been shown in most studies that if it's taken correctly, it's about 99% effective, which is about the same efficacy as a condom. So advocates are use a condom and Truvada and you're really protected. So it's exciting to see that also, though, that with the mRNA technology, that they may also be onto a vaccine for HIV. So we're one more step closer to moving past, knock on wood, moving past that. Because once that happens, and that's going to be a huge bane, not bane, a huge lift for especially the third world countries that AIDS is devastating their populations. Because they don't have access to reliable medical care. They don't have access to medications. They don't. The thing about the HIV medications is if you are HIV positive, they are regimented. You have to take them on time, same time, every day. Although now there's a once a month injectable. So I'm interested. I haven't seen anything about that. I don't know anything about it. But so, yeah, it is astonishing how far we have come in and just within our own generation, right?
Yeah, that's wild.
So, yeah, it's people decry, oh, technology, everything's getting more complicated. It was better in the past. No, it wasn't. We thought it was, but turns out those days were different. We just died from other things. Now we don't die from the same. So, well, that was cheery and uplifting.
I mean, it really is.
In context. I'm really excited for the future of mRNA, and I don't know much about it. So that's my next hungry read, as I want to do some research. But I needed a break from all of that for a while.
Fair.
That's why I'm in sci-fi and comics. So we'll see. I'm gonna look at these Jodorowsky graphic novels though, because I'm totally interested. Because I'm super. Because he's crazy. He's a crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so interested to see what his novels look like. Just from Jodorowsky's Dune, I just the imagery in the story, I can't imagine. So,
yeah, well, let me know what you think after you get through them.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way.